Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to LFC Midweek Prayer and Gathering. This is our spiritual growth and development. We are here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and we have been working through the Search for Significant Handbook by Robert S. McGee. You guys have gone through to week number 5, and we're at, I believe, day 3, and we are excited, and you hear us say that in the ministry all the time, and I don't want it to become just a phrase or just something we're saying, but literally our souls are on fire and in passionate pursuit of what God has for us, because He's given us revelation. He has been giving us such powerful insights as to who we are in Him and how freeing that truth is going to make us. Just as the songwriter says in that Lazarus, rise up. He's turned the light on. No longer are we in darkness about some things in our lives, some areas that we even weren't aware was having such an effect on us right now. They were from the past. They were buried deep, but God has unearthed them. Holy Spirit has shown us their source, and the enemy's lies have been exposed, and God's truth has been applied to them. And as we go through the journey of applying the truths of God that the author shares in such a wonderful little summary, where is that we are justified so that we don't have to fear failure. We are reconciled. We don't need anybody else's approval. The propitiation has happened for us, so we don't have to feel guilty or think we have to be punished, and we are regenerated. And that gives us the understanding that we now have a hope. We do not have to live hopeless. And all these truths were brought to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he shed his blood on the cross, he released God's holy plan for us that we might have life and have it more abundantly, not just everlasting life, which is in it of itself just a paramount of gifts that were given to us. But even now, we don't have to wait for the yonder, you know, by and by. Right now, this abundant life has been given to us. I awakened one morning, and the only part of the song that I was saying was exceedingly, abundantly, more than you can ever hope or think. And I couldn't get the rest of what that song was. I wanted the rest, but he wanted me to just know just that part right there. It really doesn't matter what the rest of the song says, but he wants for us to be exceedingly, abundantly. And I just love just even the melody of it. I can't really sing it right now. And maybe some of my praise and worship people on the line to give us the rest of the words. But the word from heaven for me and for us is the exceedingly, abundantly, more than we can ever think or ask. That's what these truths that God released through Jesus Christ into our life is to bring to us. To bring to us by his covenant, he is going to do it. So we're learning that we no longer have to perform. All of this was a gift. We have been given a gift because of the love relationship we now have in Christ with the God and the King of the universe. And so this is his hope for us. This is his joy. His dream for us is that we will bear much fruit to his glory, and that will make his reputation glorious in the earth realm and even in heaven when we get there, because there are going to be crowns associated with the things and the things that we have done through Christ here on the earth. And so we are truly excited, okay? We're excited because it is awesome. As our apostle says, it is phenomenally awesome that he did this even when we were sinners. So it lets us know that if as sinners, he put forth all of this for us, all the more that we are now his children, will he bring it to pass. He has said it. He has desired it in his heart. He has breathed it in us, and he will bring it to pass. So we want to start this evening with our prayer declaration for the month of February. Hallelujah. We rejoice in God that the January prophetic word, we're seeing it manifest. We're seeing it released in the teachings that are going forth. We see it maturing in us and bringing it forth. And so we are grateful that there is a word from heaven, and there is a specific word from heaven. And we know that this word from heaven is specifically for us. He knows our name. He knows every hair on our head, and his thoughts concerning us are greater than the number of saints. So we're going to read, I don't know if someone's on the line that has it, they're going to read our February prayer declaration.
I declare February is the month of unexpected provision. I decree God is releasing provision from unexpected resources, favor, accounts, and people. I release my faith in the realm of the spirit and believe that God, who is outside of time, is positioning me for my next level of miracles. I pray Psalms 132 and 15. I will bless Zion with an endless supply of all her needs, and I will abundantly bless her provisions. I decree that endless supply is coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I agree with the Abrahamic covenant of land, seed, and blessings. I confess Genesis 35:11 through 12. I am the God all-powerful. Be fruitful and multiply. You will give rise to a great nation. Indeed, nation after nation will come from you. Kings and rulers shall be numbered among your descendants. I gave Abraham and Isaac some special land. Now I give the land to you and to all your people who will live after you. I speak immediate overflow, divine abundance, and prophetic provision. I proclaim this prayer to manifest according to Psalms 84 and 11. The everlasting God is a sun and a shield. The eternal grants favor, provision, and glory. He doesn't deny any good thing to those who live with integrity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. And we are just praising God for the word, the prophetic word from heaven. And with this year has been proclaimed the year of prophetic possibilities, the prophetic possibilities. There are no ifs with our God. Amen, amen. So we want to open up in prayer. If there's a male on the line that will lead us in prayer. Okay. Well, we'll just ask our overseer to open us up in prayer.
Amen. Father God, we come and we pray, Lord God, that you would release your spirit of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. God, we thank you for this moment to be transparent before you, Father God, naked and not ashamed, that we may be healed in your presence. We may be set free and delivered in your presence, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for the instruction and wisdom of the teacher, Father God, that will facilitate on tonight, and those who will share. And God, we thank you that we are overcomers by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. We're going to, at this point, open the lines to you. We have life work. We have a lot of life work from all different angles in the studies that labors for Christ. But some of the things you were asked to do maybe 3 weeks ago was to make that list of 10 things, and we understand that it grew from that 10. But part of what you were supposed to do was to pick one thing off that list and declare the scriptural answer that God has for you for that place of unbelief experience. What scripture will you use to stand on it and declare it so that that thing that's on your list will no longer be on your list? And so we give you opportunity now to share one of the things that was on your list. the scripture that you're going to use as you battle it, because it's a battle, and what declaration you are going to make, and what decree are you going to make in the earth realm out of your mouth in your words to combat and to establish, to bind it on earth or loose it in heaven. So anybody want to share from their homework of the one of the 10 things that you did not believe God would do for you? The lines are open. Don't be shy now. Well, I'm just going to ask Minister Brenda. Okay, are you on the line? Start calling names. Minister Brenda?
Okie dokie. They're going to be late.
Oh, they're going to be late. Thank you. So who spoke that word, they're going to be late? Who said
me.
That? Okay, me. All right. Me? Then you do it. Okay, you have to listen to give us to yours. Okay.
You know, don't give me trouble.
Of course, that's not trouble. That's giving an opportunity. You have been given an opportunity to give.
Well,
oh,
I don't mean trouble, trouble. I just meant that it was going to expose me. Who's that coaching me?
Sorry?
I heard somebody coaching me.
Oh, so you want to put it on them?
I would love to.
Oh, but let's hear it.
I got to find it. I haven't opened it up yet.
Okay.
It says, nope, that's coaching. Let me see. 10 things,
yeah, I know,
right?
We got a lot of stuff. Yes, ma'am. While you're finding yours, I will go to Elder Roberta. You on the line?
Oh, okay, good.
I'm on the
oh,
line,
no,
but I didn't write anything because I couldn't think of anything that he can't do. So I didn't put anything down because I couldn't think of anything that he can't do. Now, there may be some things that sometimes you won't let him do, but
okay,
but
okay. That's okay. That's okay. That's great. So name one of those things you not let him do.
Well, I really couldn't think of anything. I'm trying to think what I really can't think of anything. I mean, I'm always asking him to let me see. I don't know what I want them to do. I don't know.
Well, then this is going to be your question then. Name
but
one scripture.
I know I can't think of anything that he can't do.
Okay. Now, give me a scripture that caused you to believe that. That's all. Just give me a scripture.
Oh, wow, man. Let me think on it.
Okay. All right. Then we'll go back to Evangelist. Okay. All right. Evangelist.
So I really believe that did I mute myself? No, I didn't. Okay.
No,
I really believe I really believe that we kind of did mine already, maybe a couple of weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, when we were talking about self-correcting and stuff like that, because that's one of my majors is self-correcting, and that selfish spirit where I understand it to be a selfish spirit where I'm my own Lord. You know, so.
Okay, now I have a question. Hold on.
Yeah.
All right. You said we did that 3 weeks ago, right?
Okay.
Okay,
yeah.
How's that going for you? Explain your process in overcoming that. 3 weeks later, where are you?
Basically, allowing myself to hear concerning things that I feel need to be corrected, and hearing how he feels about that specific issue. And the thing that I've learned or am learning is that he's not as hard on me as I am on me. And you know, and so basically allowing him to be Lord and sit on the throne as opposed to me sitting on the throne is an easier road for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, hold on. I'm going to keep interrupting, but it's not being rude. Okay, you say that allowing him. Now tell me what emotion comes up in your spirit when you're in that moment and you get that revelation, you hear his voice, you understand what you had been doing, and you understand now all that you have to do. What emotion do you have?
Relief.
Okay. That's what freedom sounds like. Okay. And that's great. Because that's something that needs to be, you know, yeah, the struggle is hard, but once we do it, you know, we have our body give off an emotional response. And so that's
and a physical one.
Thinking. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So that's an awesome testimony to God. That's what gives him glory. He gave relief to his beloved God. Okay, Evangelist.
Okay, Minister Follett.
Yes, ma'am.
You can come back to me.
Okay, all right, will do.
Ms.
So he's given relief to. Well, I was, as she shared with us, that she had the release. Jesus. Okay. And so he gave relief to his dear daughter. And that's what he wants. He is the father that wants to give us good things. And she allowed him to give her good things. Amen. All right, Elder Roberta.
Okay, I was going to say, I really can't. I can't read because my eyes was dilated today, this afternoon. Day one, guilt and condemnation. Okay, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, you know, as the chapter was saying, a lot of times we're, as Evangelist was saying, we're harder on ourselves. Whereas,
mm-hmm.
I think I've said it before, you know, speak for me, when you look back over your life and you see how you have, many times you have, now this is me now, failed him.
Mm-hmm.
You feel bad about it. it's almost like you beat yourself. You're beating yourself up. You know he has forgiven you, but when you replay that video, you just feel really bad and about it. You know, it's like so. You know, it's like you say, you know, oh, you know, Lord, I'm sorry. I just look like I, you know, you just couldn't do right, couldn't this, couldn't that. It's like, you know, you feel so bad that you hurt his feelings or you didn't obey or whatever like that. So that is my, that
Amen.
Me not letting him take away the, you know, what I feel about.
Exactly. And you know what? That was question number seven. What happens when you judge yourself on past performances?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's
yes.
why we want to
mm-hmm.
see progression of this. And the book shares with us that it is. We're disregarding Christ's death and resurrection. We're just saying
mm-hmm.
it don't matter. And when we look at it in real time, if you will, not flowery biblical language, but the bottom
mm-hmm.
line is when we do that and we feel this guilt and condemnation, we're saying, Jesus, what you did wasn't enough. I'm going to have to fix this, even if I have to punish myself. And so we live in our own guilt and condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
When he said, it doesn't exist anymore because you've been
yeah.
forgiven. And so that's just some of the truth that we want to sometimes, we want to always keep in the front of our mind so that we know we have a new way to react and to respond even to our error, to our sin. When we mess up,
mm-hmm.
when we fall short, we have to learn a new way to react. And I'm hoping that Evangelist Shannon is on the line because she has that day three revelation for us of the new way to react. Now that we're getting these truths, we don't have to stay where we were. He is calling us up. So Evangelist Shannon, you on the line? Yes. Hi. All right. We're ready for you.
All right. Day three, a new way to react.
Yes.
Apostle Paul said he saved us not on the basis of deeds which have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, Titus 3:5. Christ has reconciled us to God and allows us to experience the incredible truth. We are totally accepted by and acceptable to God. This statement does not mean that we won't feel pain or anger when things don't go our way. We need to be honest about our feelings. Covering them up doesn't help either. However, if we quickly seek God's perspective on whatever we are experiencing, we can apply this truth in every difficult situation, whether that situation involves someone's disapproval, our own failure to accomplish something, or the failure of another person. I took my work from those little couple of passages. I started my work,
mm-hmm.
and I believe that I don't have a problem with being honest about my feelings. The areas that I struggle with the most is keeping it to myself, you know, being taught and shown from childhood. My mother would say things like, you know, you would just keep your relationship, your marriage, you would keep those type of things to yourself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I used that same thought process throughout life, you know.
Yeah.
I thought it would be beneficial for me. However, it set me up to be told lies by the enemy, you know. As we discussed in week two, bringing about anger, you know, because repeated acts were just, you know, just done, you know. After that, you know, for me, resentment was set in. I wish I wouldn't have did this, or I wish I wouldn't have did that, you know, because of certain situations would not change. And ultimately, for me, unforgiveness and depression took root. The scripture that comes to my mind to combat those negative feelings and emotions was 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Me and my finite wisdom says, and this was one of the things that I didn't believe, you know, God would do. And it, that didn't apply to my situation. You know, I would just got out of that, you know. You know, for me, I knew that I was in a dangerous place, you know, being prideful, you know, puffed up in front of God, you know, like I dare you to, you know, want this situation too, because you already know, you know. And I knew personally that I was in a dangerous place, you know, but somehow I still remained to be stable, humble throughout it. I had to learn how to not to place false expectations on people because people are fallible. You know, the scripture that that got me humbled and aided in my deliverance was the scripture, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know, I had to remember that, you know, you sin too, just like I did, you know. You know, placing the other person on a pedestal, you know, and they could do no wrong, you know, but I had those expectations, you know, unrealistic type of expectations. For me, scripture specifically told me that 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, for the weapons of our warfare are carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Those things for me and them people that I thought I could not live without, those were strongholds for me, and I struggled with that throughout, as long as I can remember, you know, placing my friends over my family, and placing my family over my friends, and placing job rules over my own desires, and vice versa, and ultimately play for my life. And that scripture goes on, says the casting down of imaginations. For me, that wrong, for that negative thinking, always thinking wrong because of my unhealed trauma, you know. Now, keep in mind, I do have a spirit of discernment, you know, but for me, it can be a little bit extreme. Because if I could hear something that pertains to my situation because of my unhealed trauma, I can mistakenly think you're referring to me. You're talking about me.
Okay.
Now I'm getting ready to think negative, you know, be a spouse, mother, father. It didn't matter, chick or child. It did not matter. You're talking about me.
Okay.
That's my stuff, you know. And everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing that thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. If it don't line up with God's word, chances are it's not the right thing to be doing or the right thing to be thinking, you know, if it's not the nature of God. Amen. And because of those wounds that I have incurred, you know, and that God is uncovering, you know, I was afraid to look at it the way that God sees it. You know, I thought I had did some of this stuff, you know, but no, I'm looking at it again. He has that much grace and that much mercy upon me that he allows us to be able to see ourselves again and allows us freedom. You know, I always have condemned myself, but, you know, he's cleansing me again by the washing of his blood. You know, he's cleaning that wound all over again, you know. And he, actually, he's doing it this time. I don't know if was I the one cleaning it or just putting a Band-Aid on it. I believe I was just putting a Band-Aid on it, Okay. And showing me the truth. You know, I've been to God and I've asked God about truth for things, and at the time it was not the time. You know, God shows you things when you are ready and in His time, and I truly believe that. And I believe now that I am ready because I've learned some truth about some things. And he's given me the grace, you know, just to just accept the things as they are and allow me to be healed in that process, you know, and just walking in that healing, my process, and being comfortable and free in doing so. You know, that's the blessing. Because some people can be miserable in their process, you know.
They're just bitter.
You know, I choose to not to be bitter today. That's just not my makeup. I remember being told, you'll never be happy. I decree and I declare that today the joy that I have now, the world did not give it to me, and the world cannot take it away from me. You know, I remember being told, you'll never be nothing. The word of God tells me exactly who I am, causing me to react a different way. 1 Peter 2:9 says that I am a chosen generation. I didn't choose him. He chose me. And guess what? I'm glad about it. I'm a royal priesthood. It is my responsibility to declare the goodness of Jesus Christ. Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God that bringeth salvation to everyone who believes.
Tell me
that I am a holy nation, a peculiar people. I am God's chosen people. I belong to God. I wrote my own little something here, you know, on page 113, we're going to get there. I wrote, I belong to God. I belong to God. I have been given a new identity in Jesus Christ. I have been reconciled unto him. I have been redeemed by him. I have been rebranded through him. I have been restored for him. Praise God. That is a blessing in itself to be able to get to that restoration. You know, he just didn't leave me out here wounded. He said, come on, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to give your things back and double for your trouble. Praise God. Page 113, I'm going to say this and I'm going to close it. Page 113 says, my identity in Christ. Because of Christ's redemption, I am a new creation of great work. I am deeply loved, completely forgiven, fully pleasing, totally accepted by God, and absolutely complete in Christ. There has never been another person like me in the history of mankind, nor will there ever be. God has made me an original, one of a kind. I am really somebody. You know, I've been told there's going to be a lot of things, but I know now today exactly who I am because the Word of God shows me. It shows me. I'm no longer confused with all of those things and that stuff that I was taught and showed and called and took my own self through. I ain't none of that no more. I know exactly who I am, you know, and to walk in that every day is a blessing.
That's glory, glory. Well, that's a lot. Hallelujah. That's a praise, the pause for praise. Hallelujah. And that's who keeps us to stand. We are. Hallelujah. Absolutely. Thank you. Any comments, insights, questions for Evangelist Shannon?
This is Jen. Evangelist Shannon,
yes,
I just want to say, yes, ma'am, what you said.
Amen. And so it is, and it is so, yes. Anybody else? Hallelujah. It says it's a great thing when we touch and agree. Yes, yeah.
Connect, I can...
Go ahead.
I just said I concur.
Amen. 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 All right.
Phenomenal presentation.
Well, that's a wonderful testimony to the living God and the power of God. Thank you so much for sharing your journey so passionately and so sincerely and so humbly with us. That is how you draw all men unto him. They're going to want to know, who is it she knows that makes her think she's somebody, or makes her know, not think, she's somebody.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Amen. Now, we have a scenario from our day two of, I believe her name was it Helen? Or what was the woman's name? Edith. And Pastor Bethel is going to give us some insight into the scenario of Edith. The author often uses scenarios of individuals to bring, to illustrate a point and to bring us to a place of revelation. So, Pastor Bethel?
Yes, ma'am. And the name of that song is He's Able, Overseer.
Oh, oh, thank you. He sure is. Now that you said I got it. Now I got it. He's able.
You got it now.
Exceedingly abundantly.
Yep.
Oh,
there you go.
Now you going to take me somewhere else. Okay. Okay. But go ahead. I'll put myself on mute. Okay. And I have fun. Go ahead.
You good. Amen. So I have of the scenario feeling unaccepted, and I'll just read it for those who may not have the book yet. Edith was an unmarried woman who gave birth to a child. Although she was a Christian before this event occurred, Edith later stopped attending church because she no longer felt close to God. Although she believed God forgives some sins, she felt that her action was on God's unpardonable list. She spent much of her adult life feeling unworthy of God's love. Edith is like many of us. We look back on our lives and think about something we've done that seems so horrible, so inexcusable, so terribly wrong that we don't think we'll ever feel acceptable again. We think, I deserve to be rejected because of this big mess. And so here's a woman who... just felt like, and as I was reading it, I had to kind of think about what would make her feel this way about herself, being a Christian, and in church, and she leave the church, and then I started to think about, was it the response, either the response or her fear of the response of the people from the church, looking down on her, judging her, casting her out, calling her, giving her the scarlet letter on her chest because of this issue that she, well, not issue that she has, but, you know, because she ended up pregnant. And a lot of times that can definitely be the case, that it could be the church or it could be people that would make you feel like, you're not accepted, that, God's not going to forgive you. You have this big red, check on your, next to your name now, this big red mark next to your name now. And for whatever the reason was that she felt like this, she did. I can't remember a time where I felt like, anything that I did that God didn't forgive. You repent, He forgives you. It's, thrown in the sea of forgiveness under the blood of Jesus. And a lot of times people may forget that, just feeling like they've done something so terribly wrong. And there's absolutely not, if he went to the cross to die for this very reason, there's absolutely no reason why he would say, I'm not even going to forgive that. You on my list. you know, if he'd gone to the extent he went to for you, for us, then there's nothing that you can do. The scripture, Romans 8:38, is absolutely not death nor life, nor things in the past, things in the future that could separate us from the love of God. And I know she's not the only person. I've actually known people that have felt this exact same way. It might not have been this situation, but other situations, you know, lifestyle choices or whatever. They feel like, you know, they leave the church, they feel like God can't forgive them. And we just need to, you know, just ingrain this and drill this in them that God loves you. It doesn't matter. You come before him with a sincere heart, you repent, and you move on. His forgiveness is cleansing just like that. I remember when I had my two miscarriages, and there was definitely choices that I made in my past that I repented for them. But when I had the miscarriages, I couldn't help but to wonder if that was something, you know, if I felt guilty because of that. I was like, okay, well, that must have been, but, you know, I had miscarried because I did those things. And it's just a toll on you, many things that run through your head when you suffer a loss like that. It doesn't matter if you carry it for a week or, you know, 9 months, that, you know, that the love and the grief is still there.
Yeah.
And all of the people that I got that gave me these, trying to choose a nice word, lies. For false comfort, you know, it must not have been God's timing, or, you know, it wasn't time yet. So you mean to tell me that God created the seed and then thought about it, oops, I didn't mean to do that, let me take it back? No, that's a lie. And just trying to figure out in my head, you know, why this would, you know, take place. And he literally just had to tell me, you repented for that. That's covered. That's under the blood. That just here, lost here, has nothing to do with that. You were pardoned for that. You were forgiven for that. Beat ourselves up. We do more, as Evangelist Shannon said, we do more beating up of ourselves than God does for right. Stuff that he forgave us for, and he done moved on, and we're still, you know, trying to rehash and resurface stuff. I went fishing for those things, for those right. choices that I made. I went and tried to dig that back up and, you know, and bring it back before him. He was like, no, leave it alone. It's done. It's over. Baby, don't do that. You know, woke up. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I woke you up. It's okay. So yeah, and then I was looking at the Colossians scripture in the what was it? It's a different translation. And a Passion translation. And just the end of it. Did I lose it? There we go. There it is. Where it talks about he releases his supernatural peace over us. I'll just read it because it's different than what's in the book. So from the Passion Translation, first Colossians 1:21-22, so even though you were once distant from him, living in the shadows of your evil thoughts and actions, he reconnected you back to himself. He released his supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of his own body as the sin payment on your behalf so that you would dwell in his presence. And now there is nothing between you and Father God, for he sees you as holy, flawless, and restored.
Yeah.
And I was just resting on that, that, you know, when we go through these things and, you know, repent of it, make mistakes, you know, whatever the case may be. He says that he's released his peace on you, peace and assurance to know that you've been forgiven, a peace and assurance to know that you've been reconciled, peace and assurance to know that you've been totally and fully accepted by him. And there's absolutely nothing we can do to change it, nothing that I want to do to change it.
Amen.
One of the, I think it's at the end of, let me go back to the end of Romans 8. I think it was probably either the 33rd or 30th passion, it said that it was talked about how Christ, he's fully, you know, exalted and enthroned and sitting next to the Father. And it was like, so why would he condemn you when he spends all of his time interceding and praying for you to triumph? I was like, wow. That just kind of just blew my mind. I was like, why would we think he would condemn us? Why would we think he would, you know, not forgive us? Why would he think, you know, he would hold things against us when he spends his time interceding for us? When he spends his time praying for us and making sure that we're blessed, making sure that we're seen holy and righteous before the Father, spend his time making sure that we're seen flawless and triumphing, when he makes sure that we are victorious. So it doesn't matter. Whatever past mistakes we've made, whatever mistakes we're going to make, it's okay. It's okay.
Yes.
God loves us. He's forgiven us, and we are totally and fully accepted and loved by him.
Amen. Amen. What a wonderful presentation of a scenario, along with some real-time examples. And I want to ask you, what emotion did you feel when that revelation came to you of how he felt about you? You know, about the guilt, about the baby, and the things that had been done in the past. What emotion did you feel?
Relief.
There we go.
Relief and free. Relief and free.
Yes. 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 And really, that's when you know his burden really is light. Oh, my God. And the weight that the enemy puts on us is heavy. It is burdensome.
Mm-hmm.
But is a release. That is such a blessing. I just wanted them words to come out your mouth. And I was also, and he wants us to know that no matter what the struggle is, as long as we allow him to do that discipline or that crooning that needs to happen, the results are glorious. They are just glorious. And they really sometimes,
yes,
I know for me, make me angry at the devil. That doing that for me that long, and it was really wasn't the devil, it was me. I was one.
Mm-hmm.
How long will I not endure the discipline to bring me to the place that I need to be? And we have to get disciplined when we keep judging ourselves. That offends God when we do that, because we're his precious ones. He doesn't condemn us, and he definitely doesn't want anybody else has a right to do it. And especially not us. That's just like if we had a child that was self-mutilating, you would do whatever you could to deliver that child, to bring a help to that child, to help that child be free of that spirit. You know, it would break your heart, and that's what, when we judge ourselves, that's how God feels about that. And so we need to understand, it's probably only when we get to heaven will we really understand how much he loves us.
Mm-hmm.
We really can't fathom how much God loves each one. He knows our name, all our names, whatever name they nickname called us, all of our names. So thank you so much for that one presentation. Anybody else has a comment or insight of what did the Lord share with you when you read that scenario about Ida? You could take your phones off mute and share.
This is Jen again.
Yes, ma'am.
Everything you just said. This Wednesday is going to wear me out. In the most beautiful and blessing way. Keep on teaching, y'all.
Okay. Praise God. Praise God. You know, they tell us the testimony of the saints. We don't know how much power we got just in talking about what God has done. And so we thank it. I do want to say, even in that scenario with Ethel, we also have to examine ourselves. We don't want to be the one
that she was afraid would find out, that she felt we would condemn her. And as long as we are allowing God's love to flow through us, people won't necessarily be able to be hindered long by that kind of spirit, because they will feel the love of God. I was listening to a study today, and the author shared the fact we take, First Corinthians 13, the scripture on love, and everywhere it says love, replace that word with my Father. And when you do that, it is such a love letter. It is such a testimony to God. And I wish somebody would get that so that we can really share it that way on the line in whatever version you have. But everywhere it says love or charity, you know, love does not boast. My Father does not boast. My Father does not, keep a record of. So we want to be able to read that out. And then we're going to open the lines again. You have opportunity. You're doing this study. You are putting in the investment in your souls. So the things that Holy Spirit gives you, the things you jotted down in the margin, on the book, on some of the little tests and things and assessments they give you to make your comments, share them. They're powerful, and they're not just for you, but they are for the body, so that the body is edified. Does someone have that for me now? Love, Corinthians 13. Shoot, I guess I could get it on the computer.
I can do it. First Corinthians,
okay.
You want the entire chapter or just a certain verse?
Well, everywhere, that chapter, everywhere it says love. What verse does it start with?
And you say place it with my Father, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Yep. Okay. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, love, my Father, and have not my Father, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkle cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not my Father, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, or have not my Father, it profits me nothing. Charity suffering long and kind. My Father suffered long and is kind. My Father envies not. My Father boasts not itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly, seek not her own, is not easily provoked, think it no evil, rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth, beareth all things, believe all things, hopes all things, even endure all things. My Father never faileth, but whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now about a faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is is my father. I'm sorry, let me read that again. And now about a faith, about a faith, my father, hope, my father, these three things, but these three. But the greatest is of these is my father.
There you go. There you go.
Amen.
It's such a wonderful way of looking at it. I encourage you to do that. And it will always remind us, this whole thing, it's about our Father. That's why Christ said, when you pray, say, our Father. Put him first. That's it, our Father. And you got his attention. And it's in him that these things become ours. And so my verse, they give you these different verses of the day and all of that. But I want to read mine. It's Psalm, I think it's today's, it's Psalms 59 and 16 in the Message Bible. And it says, and me, I'm singing your prowess. I am shouting at dawn your largeness. For you've been a safe place for me, a good place to hide. Strong God, I'm watching you do it. I can always count on you. God, my dependable love. And that's who he is. He's going to do it for us. And so I want to leave it open. If anyone else wants to share anything, they have inspiration or revelation you receive, insight, a visionary knowledge from this studying of the word, you have opportunity to share it now.
Over to this is Kathy. I was,
yes, Miss.
When I read the very first sentence, Edith was an unmarried woman who gave birth to a child. And then it says, okay. Although, and I stopped right there because I could sense that feeling of rejection and how far back it went, probably to her childhood. she just didn't have any. She said it with her mouth, but she didn't believe it in her heart. And I can totally understand that, because I have said things with my mouth, but I didn't believe them in my heart. But what I had to understand was that it took time. I wasn't just going to wake up one day and bam, it was going to be there. It would be nice. But my main issue was me, because I think I'm supposed to analyze everything. And I you know, be honest, just, you know, put myself as God with a small G. Because
okay.
I just knew I had it all worked out. But it's taken me over 30 plus years to realize that when you think back and you say, if I could do it over again, and I take that question and wipe it across my entire life, all the decisions that I've made, I should be happy, tap dancing and rolling on the floor, that there is someplace else that I can go for a decision that I know is going to come out right. I don't have to make any decisions for myself. It's just I have gotten in the habit, even when it comes to what am I wearing today? What am I having for breakfast? What am I having for dinner? What am I having for lunch? And you sometimes too often probably I hear a thought that says, okay, you missed breakfast, so this is what you're doing for lunch. And instead of me, and you can hear the nutrition and the health in the lunch. And normally I would go, oh, man, that's not what I really have a taste for. But now I'm happy to go. And I even had to stop saying, well, I don't think I have that in the refrigerator. I had to stop saying that because I had never looked. And I would look in the refrigerator and everything that I needed was right there. Sometimes I'd have to move a package, but everything that I needed was right there. I diverted. But Edith just sounds like she said it with her mouth, but she didn't believe it in her heart. And I can 250% understand what that process looks like.
Amen.
Thank you, Edith.
Amen. Thank you so much, the transparency and the sincerity and the power of your sharing is life-changing and it's eternal. And I am grateful. I am grateful for you guys. We're going to start next week with Pastor Diane giving us the scenario of Janet, and then we will go with Pastor Dan doing healthy relationships and Minister LaDonna, the free gift. And then we will be at the end of our week five with Evangelist Narbella, No Sin Too Filthy. And so we are excited about, again, just your sharing. Look forward to your sharing. We want to remind you of to check your emails and all of the, communication that relates to what's going on at church. This weekend was a powerful weekend with the Be Still triage, the spiritual triage of wellness. It went well beyond the time, and I think a lot hung up, but we were still in worship. It was truly a time of stillness. And then God just augmented it by having the snowstorm, okay? So we were really still. We were still even if we didn't want to be still. But it was just a wonderful time of worship and just basking in. And so we do thank the pastoral care. And I finally remembered your name, Evangelist Katie Smith. Sometimes we have those little senior moments. And sometimes it's just the enemy trying to say you don't remember, but I will remember, okay, in the name of Jesus. And I thank Pastor Patel for giving me that song, and I'm sure everybody that's around me is going to regret it because I'm going to listen to it for the rest of the night. Okay, and that is going to augment our study this evening. I thank you guys. If you have music or anything that you want to share as a part of our Wednesday gathering, scripture that ties into this search for significance, who God says we are, bring it. Email me so we can get it planned and scheduled into the, everything got to be, what they call it, the program, whatever. And so we can get it and get that going on electronically. This is our time. It can look like whatever we want it to look like. And so I don't want you to sit there and think there's an agenda that has to be followed. The agenda is whatever Holy Spirit would have us to do. And you need to know that we have the kind of leadership at Labors for Christ that encourages that uniqueness of ministry going forth. We're not in a box. Okay, we released Holy Spirit to do whatever he wants. He is not in the box, and we're able to flow in that. I don't know if our apostle has any announcements that she would like to make this evening.
Thank you to everyone who so diligently, actively engages in spiritual growth and development. If you have not scheduled your strategy session, if you have not had your first strategy session, there are some open slots available on Thursday and Friday on the 4th and 5th of this week, and so I ask that you do so. If you have not scheduled your strategy session, if you have not had your first appointment, please do so by scheduling those sessions. And just due to the weather, I understand it's going to be double digits below zero. So due to the weather, it is my desire that people are safe. and we will be worshiping via Blog Talk. I mean, excuse me, via Zoom. We're on Blog Talk. We'll be worshiping via Zoom, and we will get that information out to you. And so stay connected with someone. As always, when these are the scenarios, we ask that as you get the information, you forward it to someone else. So if everybody puts forth the effort to reach one, if each one reach one, then everyone should be reached. So again, just due to the projected extremely cold temperatures for the weekend, not just for Sunday, but for the remainder of this week and the beginning of next week, we will be worshiping via Zoom, and we will get that information out to you by Friday. So check your email and check your text messages, because that information will be shared with you on Friday. And also check to see if you are someone that will be serving in some capacity on Sunday during our Zoom worship. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you so much, Apostle. We do want to remember to check on one another during this cold, cold weather, the cold season. And it's we want to make sure that everybody is warm and that is whatever needs you have can be met. So please check on each other, and please do not hesitate to contact the church if there is a need that you have. The M.C. Thornton Christian Resource Center is available for that. Just that. We did start as a church being a covert testing site. That is a very powerful thing for the community. It is a very powerful thing. Amen. We thank those that came out and let their anointing flow. We're talking about legs to a vision. We have some legs to a vision. The vision that Apostle has in there, those that picked it up and they ran with it, and we thank God for that. This is just the beginning. There is going to be such an enormous need for the love of God in the community and a place for people to find rest and to find a hope in their community. And so we thank God for that. We thank God for allowing the government and all of the people that are in the establishment or whatever to allow us to be that. And so we want to stand in excellence on behalf of our Father and open the doors to those that are in need. It's drive through as well as walk up. And we encourage the church members to take advantage of it. There's no long waiting lines like in a lot of places. It's done professionally.
Amen.
By an established health organization. And it's your house. It's your house. We thank God that all of the safety precautions are rigorously enforced by our apostle. And so there is a level of confidence and faith, because it is definitely over and beyond what is being required is happening there. So we thank God for just the wisdom of our leadership and the vision. And we don't know where this may lead, but whatever your vision, your passion, whatever is stirred up in you, this is an opportunity for you to release it in the community. Release it in the community. So we're just so humbly excited for what God is doing and how He has acknowledged and put His name in this place. And so we thank you all for being a part and for having a heart and for your coming forth, stepping out. Lazarus coming out the grave, coming out because He's called you, and there is power. You have been the grave clothes. I've been told to fall off of you, so you don't have any burden to carry. They have been told to fall off you, to let you go. He called you forth, and the enemy knows the voice of the Lord, even when we act like we don't, and the enemy submits to the God of the universe. And so we thank him for his love of his children.
and his tender mercies. His tender mercies. We are so grateful for his mercy, which is one of our words for this week. So praise God. If there's no other announcements from any of our ministry leaders and servant leaders, you have a lot of the church at your ear right now if you would like to share.
Okay.
So, we will see you on Zoom. Amen.
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 Be blessed. Be a blessing. That's it. Be a blessing.
I guess that's all.